We're turning to the Word of God today, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, first of all. We'll read some verses from this chapter. And then Proverbs chapter 29. For a few moments at the end of our service today, I want simply to preach on the subject, the calamity of rejecting God's mercy. The calamity of rejecting God's mercy. Let us read, first of all, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22, and we'll read down to the end of this chapter. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And then Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1, a familiar text, I'm sure, to many of us. But the text I want to leave with you today as we come to deal with this subject. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Amen. We'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to preach his inspired word this afternoon. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God that is open before us today. And we know that it is infallible. We thank thee, O God, that thy word is incorruptible. And O God, we praise thee that we have in our hands today the inspired word of the living God. We know that someday, and we believe very soon, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy word shall stand forever. And we thank thee, Lord, that thy word is our only rule of faith and practice. And we pray, Lord, that in these days in which we live, these wicked, sinful days, O God, that you would help us ever to live according to thy truth. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to hide thy word deep within our hearts so that we might not sin against thee. Pray, Lord, you'll bless and encourage your saints today. And we ask thee, O God, that you would build us up on our most holy faith. And we ask thee, Lord, for those in our congregation who are still strangers to grace and to God, that even this might be the day when they would come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, now we ask thee that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit, and help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. How we need that fresh touch from heaven. O God, help us to preach thy word faithfully. Help us to preach thy word simply. We pray, Lord, today that we might know the help of God. And we pray, Lord, that you would take your word and apply it personally to all of our hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The Bible is full of solemn warnings. These warnings, I believe, are placed in the Bible by the Lord himself in order to stop sinners on their downward march to hell and to make them think of the eternal destiny to which they are heading. One of the many such warnings that we have in the Word of God is this warning here in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. I want you to look at these words very carefully. And especially if you're here this afternoon and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to think upon these words here. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Here in this text we have a solemn warning. A solemn warning note which tells of certain impending judgment upon all those who willfully and persistently and deliberately reject God's grace, God's mercy, and God's love. It's a clear warning. It's a sobering warning. I believe we can say also that it's a personal warning. It's a personal warning to every unsaved man and woman in this gospel service today. Because here God speaks to the individual. Indeed, it is a warning that comes straight from the throne of God in heaven to the hearts of all men. And I pray that as we turn to God's word this afternoon and consider this solemn warning, that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts. Because the warning here, of course, is setting before men this great truth that if sinners continually resist the strivings of the Holy Spirit in their lives, continually say no to God's free offer of salvation, then the Lord will come suddenly and remove them. He will come suddenly in judgment. That's what the warning is all about. But as we come to consider the text, I want you to notice a number of things here. I want you to notice, first of all, in the text, how much God loves sinners. Now, you might say to me, well, preacher, there's nothing here in this text about the love of God. Well, of course, if you say that, then you're not looking at the text very closely. I want you to look at the text here very, very closely. Because in this text of Scripture, you see very clearly the love of God to sinners, the mercy of God to sinners, the grace of God to sinners. You see, the love of God is indicated in this text by the words, being often reproved. Underline them. Look at the text. He that being often reproved. These words mean, in spite of many warnings. You see, friend, God so greatly loves sinners that he frequently and continually reproves them by his Holy Spirit. Why does God do this? God does this because he loves the sinner and because he wants the sinner to turn away from sin and trust the God of heaven alone for salvation. The truth is this, and it's a simple truth, but it is a wonderful truth. All of God's warnings, all of God's reprovings display and magnify the great love which God has for every one of Adam's sinful race. If God did not truly love the sinner, then instead of giving the sinner warnings and opportunities to repent, The God of heaven would cast the sinner off and banish him into hell forever. There would be no warnings. There would be no reprovings. There would be no opportunities given for the sinner to repent if God did not love the sinner. But the truth is this, and we can see it here very simply set out in this text of Scripture. Because God loves sinners, he reproves them. He warns them. He challenges them. You see, the Bible tells us that God is long-suffering, plenty in mercy, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord Jesus wants to save sinners. He longs to give sinners everlasting life. But in order for the Lord to bring sinners to himself, he has to warn them. He has to speak to them. He has to give them opportunities. And he does this by warning them of pending judgment. God loves sinners in spite of their sin, and he has made every possible effort to bring sinners to repentance and faith. And one of the ways that God uses to draw sinners to himself is by reproving them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. You see, the Lord today wants to awaken you, sinner, to the fact that you are a sinner. He wants to awaken you to this great truth that you need him more than anything else. I wonder, is there someone here in this service today and the Lord has been speaking to you? You're not saved, you're not born again of the Spirit of God. And the Lord has been speaking to you and he has been revealing unto you your sin. Maybe you can't sleep at night. Maybe you're agitated even in this service today. My friend, that is the Lord speaking to your heart in love. Because the Lord wants to show his mercy towards you. He wants you today to come in repentance and faith. And trust him. And he will reprove you. He will reveal unto you that you're a sinner. And by doing so, he wants to save you. Now, keep your hand in Proverbs chapter 29 and turn over just for a moment to Acts chapter 2. And we have an example of God reproving men for their sin in order to bring them to repentance. Here we have the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. And of course, Peter, he preaches to the people in Jerusalem. And he preaches to the very people who had just a few weeks earlier had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ and nailed him upon a cross. And as Peter preaches, he reproves them. He condemns them for their sin. Take a look there at verse 36 of Acts chapter 2, and you will read these words. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus. Now, underline these words. Here's the reproof. Whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Here we have Peter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he comes with the message of God. And what a message it is, a message of reproof. And Peter here leaves the people in no doubt that they were the ones who had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and nailed him to Golgotha's brow. And he reproves them. You see, he's pointing out to them their sin. And that's what the Holy Spirit does through the preaching and through the Word of God as God's Word goes forth. The Holy Spirit reproves men of their sin. And that's what's happening here through the preaching of Peter. God was working through the reproving of their sin. Look at verse 37. Now when they heard this, they heard what? Well, they had heard that they had crucified the Son of God. that they had sinned against the Lord. Now when they had heard this, underline it, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? After God had reproved them of their sin, they came under conviction of their sin. They recognized that they had done wrong, and they wanted to know now how they could find forgiveness for their sin. Take a look at verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. My friend, listen to me today. Let me say on the authority of God's word, God wants his reprovings to bring you to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because God loves the sinner. God loves the sinner. Therefore, when God comes and speaks to your heart and warns you of hell and of judgment to come, he's reproving you. He's revealing unto you not only that you are the sinner, but that your sin is going to bring you down into a lost eternity. And the reason for those reprovings, for those warnings, is because the Lord wants to save your precious soul, and he wants you, through those reprovings, to turn to him in repentance and faith. We can see it here very clearly in Acts chapter 2, and of course, you can see it in many other different places in the Word of God. Being often reproved. Being often reproved. And how many times has the Lord shown his mercy and love to you by reproving you, by speaking to your heart, revealing unto you your sin? How many times have you gone out of gospel meetings under conviction of sin? How many times has the Lord spoken to you as you've read a gospel tract, as you've sat in a gospel mission? How many times has God reproved you from you've got up in the morning until you've went to bed at night? Oh, dear friend, this evening, let me tell you very sincerely that God loves you, and that's the reason why he reproves you. Because he wants to bring you unto himself in salvation, and he wants to forgive you for your sins. But take a look at Proverbs chapter 29 again, because not only do we see here great love, how much God loves the sinner, but we see here how sinners treat God. We see here in this text great sin, great sin. How does sinners treat God? Well, sinners treat God disrespectfully by hardening their necks against the reproofs of God. Look what it says. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Now, I want you to underline those three words there. Hardeneth his neck. The word hardened there implies not only an action, but an attitude. Therefore, the sinner's attitude towards the reproofs of God is, I'm not going to listen to the warnings of God. I'm not going to pay heed to the reproofs of God. I'm not going to listen to what the preacher says. I'm not going to listen to what God's word says. Because I want to go my own way and do my own thing. You see, we have here in this text the great sin of hardening your heart, or hardening your neck against the reproofs of God. The expression, hardeneth his neck, is a figure taken to illustrate the manner in which a rebellious animal, say an ox, turns away from the yoke. And just as the ox fights against the yoke. So sinners who, after hearing the warnings of God, stubbornly and persistently fight against the reprovings of God. That's what the text of Scripture here is bringing out. My, what an awful way for someone to treat God. After the Lord shows his love and mercy towards them, the sinner willfully hardens his neck, hardens his heart, and says no to God's free offer of salvation. Friend, is this how you are treating God today? Is this how you are treating God today? He shows you mercy. He shows you love. He shows you grace. He reproves you because he wants to bring you unto himself. He wants you to see your sin so that you repent and turn away from your sin and come to him. And yet, although God time and time and time again, year after year after year, shows his love towards you, all you as the sinner can do is to harden your heart and say no continually to God's free offer of salvation. Oh, God has blessed you with godly parents. God has blessed you with hearing the gospel. God has blessed you with knowing the truth. And yet, this afternoon still finds you rejecting the message of the gospel and hardening your heart against God's will and God's precious word. Is it any wonder that Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Now, just a moment ago, I give you an example of the Lord reproving sinners, and after they were reproved, they turned and repented and were saved. Well, let me give you an example of a man in the Bible who was reproved by God, but instead of that man turning in repentance, he hardened his heart. Acts chapter 24, take the time to turn it up. I know it's a familiar portion to many of us, but if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, then I want you to look it up yourself. There's Bibles in the pew in front of you. Make use of them. It is important, my friend, that you see God's word and that you read God's word and that you understand what the word of God is teaching us. Look at Acts chapter 24. And verse 24 says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Priscilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ." So here we have Felix, the Roman governor, and he has an interest, a deep interest in the things of God, and he wants to hear the gospel, just like you. Because you come week in and week out, year in and year out, to listen to the message of the gospel. And that in itself is commendable. But it's not enough to save your soul or to get you into heaven. Here was an individual, and he had a desire to hear God's word. He actually sent for the preacher, and he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now look at the reproofs of God in verse 25, because as the word of God goes forth, God is going to challenge this individual. He's going to speak to this individual. He's going to warn this individual. He's going to reprove him. And as he reasoned, that's Felix's reason of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Why? My, was he not being reproved for his sin there? He certainly was. As he thought about his sin, and as he thought about standing before God on the judgment day, the Bible tells us here that he trembled. He trembled. But unlike the people in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached, Felix did not repent. They repented. We already found that out. But Felix did not repent. Instead, look at verse 25. Felix answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Now we know when we read the rest of the chapter that he never had a more convenient season. He never came under conviction again, I believe. Although we heard Paul again and talked to Paul again, the time came after 3 years that he left Paul bound. He hardened his neck. He hardened his heart. And although he heard the gospel many times after that first encounter, he never felt the same way again. He never trembled again. My friend, there comes a time we know not when, a place we know not where, that seals the destiny of men for glory or despair. There is a line unseen of men that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. And how true those words are. The Bible clearly says, indeed God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God loves you today. And in his love he will reprove you. And he will warn you. And he will give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. But the problem is, man hardens his heart. He hardens his neck. Just as the ox fights against the yoke. The ox doesn't want to go a certain way. It'll fight against that. So too the sinner fights against God's word and God's will for their lives. And instead of repenting of their sin and turning away from their sin, they resist the word of God and the Spirit of God. And they refuse to come. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck. Oh, there's great love here in this text, and it's coming from heaven above. But there's great sin here in this text, and it's coming from within the heart of man, because man resists the strivings of God's Holy Spirit in their lives. Are you resisting the strivings of the Holy Spirit in your life today? Well, look at the text again. And you'll see great judgment or great punishment. We see in the text the punishment of resisting God. The punishment of resisting God. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Look at the text. Look at God's word today. Read it for yourself, friend. It's not the word of the preacher. It's not the word of the church. It's not the word of this denomination. It's the word of God. Look what God's word says. Shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The word suddenly there means any instant. In other words, at any time. At any moment. That's what the word literally means. The word destroyed there means to be broken or to be cut off. That's what the word literally means. The phrase without remedy literally means without healing. Without healing. In other words, there would be no healing for your soul. There'll be no healing of your sin, no forgiving of your sin, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The punishment for resisting the warnings and the reproofs of God is sudden and everlasting destruction. Here we have the punishment that every Christ rejecter will receive because they fail to heed the warning of a just and holy God. Without remedy, all opportunities will be gone. Without remedy means no escaping this judgment. In other words, you will not be able to turn back the clock. You'll not be able to turn back the clock.
You know, that's one thing about time. When time passes, we can't turn the clock back. We'll look back over our lives, no matter how long or short that life may have been. If we have made mistakes, well, there's nothing we can do about those mistakes. They're made. We can certainly say we're sorry for them. But oh, if we could only go back a few years, a few months, a few weeks, perhaps there was things we said and did that we wouldn't say and do if we could just get the time back. But we can't get the time back. All we can do is say we're sorry if we've made a mistake. But my friend, when God's judgment falls upon the sinner, there'll be no getting the time back. And it'll not matter whether you say sorry or not. It'll not matter whether you say sorry or not. You say, preacher, that's an awful thing to say. Well, take a look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 1. Turn back to it. We read the verses just a moment ago. Verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regard it. You see, that's hardening the neck, refusing to come, refusing to yield and be saved. Verse 25, and ye have set it not all my counsel and would none of my reproofs. I will laugh when your calamity cometh. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Now look at verse 28. Underline it in your Bible. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Oh, my friend, when judgment falls upon your soul because you've resisted the will of God and the word of God for your life, no amount of calling for God for mercy then will save your soul. You may call, but God will not answer. You may want mercy, but mercy will not be given. You may desire forgiveness, but no forgiveness will be found. Remember what it was said of Esau, that he sought repentance with tears, but no repentance was found. Oh, what a sad case to end up in a lost eternity. Forever and forever and forever. Oh, men and women, would you not heed God's precious word today? And would you not turn and seek the Lord while he may be found? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's why the Bible exhorts you to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ today and seek the Lord while he may be found. Because tomorrow will be too late. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I wonder, has the Lord been speaking to your heart over these past weeks? I believe he has. But you have been fighting. You have been resisting a call of God in your life. You've been saying no, stubbornly saying no. Oh, my friend, today you need to yield to the Lord. Just like the people on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached that message, you need to repent. And by faith, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior.
And thank God if you call today, because you're still in this day of grace. Call today. The Lord will show mercy. And he will show forgiveness. And he will show grace to your precious soul. Let us all pray.